All right, Romans chapter 3. What I want to talk to you about is I want to show you how I witness. And talk about the cross and whatever. And you don't have to do it exactly like me, but this is probably a pretty good start. And I'm doing this so that you can get the message very simply to your friends and loved ones. Listen, I believe with everything that's in my being that the rapture is around the corner. I believe that if you're not saved here right now today, you might miss the boat. That's how close it could be. Could it be this afternoon? I'm telling you, it could be this afternoon. It could be in a week. It could be in a month. But let me tell you, I do believe the time is close. And I see an interest in this book that's never been there before in 23 years of ministry. And I see people interested because, listen, let me tell you what. You lay down your... And Wayne will tell you, he used to lay down his head on the bed at night and worry whether he got all of his sins confessed and was panicked at times. And when you get saved, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There isn't anything you can explain about it. You can't even... I find it difficult to put in words. Okay? And so what I do is what I'm going to show you, what I would show the first time I'm sitting down with them. So I would recommend you taking out a pen and paper and get good at this. Because you don't have to teach your friends about the doctrine of baptism to get them saved. You don't have to teach them how smart you are on this subject or that subject. This subject is so simple that anybody, and I always, did you get the word always in there? I always use a timeline. Always use a timeline. I never witness to somebody without the timeline. You say, well, can't you do it in words? Yeah, words work, but I can tell you as a teacher and trying to educate that when you add visual, 70% is more in their memory than if you just use words. I never, did I say the word never? Brendan tells me never use that word. I never witness without my Bible. You know what that becomes? A debate. Well, that's what you believe. It's different when they see it in the Word of God. When you whip out the verse, you whip out the chapter, you whip out all that, it ain't your opinion anymore. And I hardly ever read the Word of God. You can ask Jim and Wayne when I witness to them. Huh? Let them read it. And so I would start out with the idea that I'd show them that there's no hope in what they've got. I'd start out in Romans chapter 3, and I'd read verse 9. In Romans chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin." And I'd ask the question, are you a sinner? I ask the question, are you a sinner? Have you sinned? And most people say yes. And they have a problem and two focuses. And I'm going to show you there are basically two approaches that I use. But look, if you will, in verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." How many are righteous? And I'd ask them a question. You ought to write down this question. Am I righteous? And most of them say, oh, yeah, you're righteous. I said, no. How many are righteous? And then I'd ask them, what about Billy Graham? How about the Pope? There is none righteous, including them. You got it? "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God." Verse 12. "They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." I said, how many do good? And I'd get them, it's a rhetorical question, guys. there isn't any good. Now, let me tell you, up north in Kentucky, when I read that there's none good, no, not one, they would add this saying. That is before you get saved. Now, here's the problem. Sounds like it works. Sounds like it fits. The problem is the Word of God didn't say that. They're buffaloing you. My father, when he would read that verse, when he was lost, I would read that verse to him that there's none that doeth good, no, not one, and he'd say, primarily there's none good. You see what he did? He changed the whole meaning. When it says there is none, I need an NIV to understand this. There is none good. No, not one. It even works in Kentuckian language. I'm telling you, it works everywhere. Hey, if I said there's none good, no, not one, how many is good?
None.
Well, that was pitiful. That was almost like a Methodist church right there. There is none good, no, not one. How many are good?
None.
It didn't say, after you're saved, you're good. It didn't say that in the Bible. They're just adding it into the fabrication of their own human mind. See, what you're trying to do is get them to believe the Word of God. You're trying to get them to say, okay, I accept that as it is the truth. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I always draw this on a diagram, like this. Here's the finish line. There are some people like me that barely get off the line. Then there's people like Christy that gets right there. The problem is, she doesn't get to go in any more than I get to go in. You got it? There are none good. All have sinned. You know, they say, well, that's just in Paul's epistle. Well, that's not true. Go to Ecclesiastes. You can't find Ecclesiastes. You haven't been studying your Bible very much. Ecclesiastes is right behind Proverbs, toward the book. And go to Ecclesiastes 7 and look at what the Bible said in verse 20. It was true back then. It isn't just true today. It's true all the time. Oh, I want you to get this. This is the stuff you need to share with your relatives. They haven't got this. You know what? Listen, I ask this question all the time. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why? And you know what the answers are? They're almost all the same. You know what they are? Hey, I hope I go to heaven. You say, okay, why? And they say, well, I'm a church member. I've walked the aisle. I've been good. I keep the commandments. You know, I confess my sins when I do them. That kind of thing. Well, that's not salvation, boys and girls. Salvation is relaxing. Had a guy write me on our webpage, and I haven't answered him back yet just because I've been trying to catch up breathing or something. But anyway, he wrote me and he said, well, how do you get saved? Well, you know basically what it is? You quit trying. If you're trying to get saved, you're never going to get saved. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. It won't work. And it's when you let go of the rope and you have nothing more than Jesus Christ to trust to save you. And when you let go of that rope, let me tell you what, that's where the peace comes in. As long as you're hanging on, you're thinking, man, I've got to hang on with everything I've got. And there's fear and there's nervousness and worry. But as soon as you let go of that rope, you know what? You can't save yourself anymore. What below you, 500 feet, is going to kill you if He doesn't save you. And you know what? I deserve to go to hell if I go to hell. People ask me how I'm doing every day. Go ahead, ask me how I'm going to do it. Hey, I'm not worth the gunpowder to blow me into hell, but I'm going to heaven. Ask me again. Hey, I'm better than I deserve. I deserve to go to hell. I know that. I know that without any qualification. There's nothing in my mind that convinces me otherwise. I know I deserve to go to hell. How many here believe that they deserve to go to hell? I mean, you know for a fact the sins you would have would send you to hell. Amen. What are you going to do? If he didn't do what he did at the cross, then we're already in trouble. Amen. I mean, come on. I mean, you can fake it out all you want. But you know, somewhere, I think it was Shakespeare said this, to thy own self be true. You know what? You got to be honest with yourself. You got to know where you are. And you know, I doubt people that are saved that don't witness. When was the last time you saw somebody come to the Lord because you shared the truth with them? You say, well, man, you're being awfully rough on me. Hey, listen, you've got the greatest message on the Word of God and you can't get anybody to believe it? Come on, I'm being serious. If it's that great of a message, why aren't you out sharing it? I mean, if you're that fired up about Jesus Christ, why aren't you out there talking to people with your Bible cracked at nights when you're off? Say, well, Pastor, you don't know what it is to work like me. Yeah, that's true. You're right. I probably put in more hours than you do. And I witness every night I'm gone. Don't tell me you can't do it. You know what? That old CSI has got you hooked, hasn't it? Amen. You got to watch that CSI. Oh, I know. It's not that. It's the Food Channel. You want to watch Iron Chef. Uh-huh. See, some of y'all laugh because you do watch that show. Oh, the fruit of the apple. You know. Huh? Billy. Exactly. Bobby Flay. You know, I mean, we watch all that garbage. And you know what? Your neighbors are dying and going to hell. And they're giving up the ghost. And you know what? You've got the message. You've got the grace of God. You've got the Word of God rightly divided. You know how and why and when, and you won't share it. That's weird to me. How many here believe everybody they known have died, went to heaven? Honestly. You know what? I've known a lot of people that died without Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the majority of people are dying lost? And their next step, listen to me very careful, their next breath is down in hell screaming for all eternity. That's weird, isn't it? And there are grandmothers, great grandmothers, that bust hell wide open. Every single day. Every single day. Say, but he went to church all his life. He gave money of all that he had. Well, I got a rich man who did the same kind of thing in Proverbs 16. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The Bible says. Yeah, but he was a good man. Hey, there ain't none good. Yeah, but you don't know my daddy. You don't know my brother. You don't know my sister. Yes, I do. They're sinners born unto Adam. Say, but in their last breath, under their dying moment, they accepted Christ. Doubt it. I would bring to you that the majority of people that I've buried have never known Jesus Christ. That's a fact. I had this one girl named Elizabeth, loved her to death. Spent time just like I did with Wayne. I mean, I spent time in the Bible with her. And she said, well, I believe you ought to be good. You ought to be good. That's why you get to heaven, being good. And I said, no, there's none good. No, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned. Don't you understand? There's none good. Oh, I believe you got to be good. And when she gave up her last breath, she never changed her thought on that at all. It's kind of weird. I've watched funerals from a distance and all of those things. We had a lady, Mary Parker. I don't know whether she was saved or lost. She's 89. She had Alzheimer's when I got her. She'd tell me the same story over and over again. Man, I'd witness to her and witness to her, and it was like one time she seemed to get it, and the next time you could tell she had no clue what I was talking about. I don't know whether she ever got it. She was the nicest lady I have ever met in my life. Jean, you're like second or third, but she was the nicest. Was she not?
Yeah.
It was amazing. Nice people go to hell. The reality is people are dying every day in a hospital without the Lord Jesus Christ, without any hope, without any way, and people just going, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I mean, they're just screaming to the top of their lung like they're getting onto the Christian road, and they won't even share and crack the book with their neighbors. Fakers. Fakers. How many here are getting cracked the book with me on the side? Met me somewhere on the side, Elaine. Did we ever talk Bible when you were teaching my son? Come on, Jim. You ever see me on the side when I'm not in the pulpit and I'm out with my Bible? I mean, all the time. And you know what? I'm not bragging on me. I'm a piece of crap. But this meant something to me when it happened. There was something exciting about it when it happened to me. I was fired up. I had eternal life. I deserved to go to hell. It was the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. It never changed. The guys up north say, man, you've been at this almost 30 years. All I can tell you, in that 30 years, not one thing has changed in my enthusiasm to showing people the cross. Never died. I love preaching to Mac. Mac came one Sunday, and man, I preached to him. And I think it was on the way home you ended up getting saved or something like that. I was preaching to this little old lady over here one time, and Dale and Jeff's stepdad, Archie Adam, or I don't know how that works, ex-stepdad, I'm not sure how that all works, stood up right where Mary was and said, I've been faking it for 35 years. Who was there that day that he did that? I didn't know if anyone else was here. And my heart leaped within my shirt. Sure, I can tell you, it was amazing. Can you imagine faking it out, going to a grace church, rightly dividing, learning all that, and then busting hell wide open? It just literally flabbergasted me. For all I know, that little lady that I was preaching at, trying to get her to see it, never got it. Her name was Mrs. Brown, sweet little lady. Not as sweet as Mrs. Parker and not as sweet as Jean. She's like six or seven on the list. But didn't make it. Her last breath was that of peace is all she'll ever know. Look in Isaiah. You're back in Ecclesiastes, right? Go to Isaiah. And go to Isaiah 66. For all eternity, this is how it will be. Verse 23. Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be a hoarding unto all flesh for all eternity. All the people you could have witnessed to is going to be by there as you march by this place, and you're going to see them. You're going to see them. And they're going to say, well, why didn't you witness to me? Amazing. The other thing I'd like to show in the gospel while I'm witnessing to people is that it could not have been in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I draw the cross. Always draw the timeline. How many times did I say always? You got it? And I prove that they could not have got it out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's impossible. It's impossible. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Because I want you to see, you know, what did you believe before you got to a Grace Church? Most of us believed in what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? They go in the churches. How many here came out of a church that taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The problem is there is no gospel to save you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you go to church. Wouldn't that be a great deception of Satan? Is to put you in a church that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you could never get to heaven out of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? But hey, Look, we learned something out of Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, but none of that. There's a preacher that I know of. He's in the Grace Movement. He hardly ever preaches the gospel. He's preaching about Luke being a Gentile, not part of the 12. He's preaching all this kind of stuff. All that knowledge is okay. But you know what? That doesn't mean diddly if you don't have the gospel. I watch people that are so smart. I mean, I can tell you, if you get around Tony, he knows everything about all the religion. I don't know all that. He's smarter than me. When he came to me, he was lost. He's a preacher, I'm lost. Amen? And I sat down at that table right there and started showing him out of the Word of God what salvation is. Thought he had it, still didn't have it. Hope he's got it now. You got it now? You know, listen, let me tell you what. Lost. Has all kinds of theology degrees, much smarter than me. If you ask him about Tyndall and all those, I mean, I don't know that, but I know this. You got it? Don't know anything about that. You go to Tony for that. He'd be probably a good Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teacher before he got saved. Just teach it, you know. I mean, just teach it. You know, it's just information. This ain't information for me. You got the difference? This is my life. Galatians chapter 1. This is what I'd show them. Watch this. For I neither received, verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, did Paul get his message that he preached? He called it my gospel, or the gospel there. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that what it said?
Amen.
And I get them say yes. And I said, okay, I know in Acts chapter 8, he's creating havoc in the church, right? So the earliest he could have gotten saved is Acts chapter 9. Would you all agree with that? Now, you know, I'm setting them up. I'm setting them up. Because they believe that Jesus taught a gospel that could save them. Well, how could he tell them that he was going to die on the cross when it was a secret? He didn't say, believe on me and thou shalt be saved. He said, if you'll work, sell out, keep the commandments, follow me, all of those things, then you'll have eternal life. But I believe in, I don't know where I got this do-do religion. Hey, and I mean they just want you to do and do and do. Amen? But I thought God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other. And somehow I'm going to get in. Well, that worked up until about 15. After 15, that formula wasn't very good. Dale, it happened when he was 13. In fact, he's barely out of it now. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, come on. Amen? I mean, we thought we were doing good. Then all of a sudden, pot smoking, drinking, hell raising, chasing women, boozing, self-indulgence, all... What? I think I said that once. Why? Did you want to re-emphasize that? It was funny. Everybody laughed. I mean, you know, come on, right? And then at 21 or 22, you're not feeling too bad. You're feeling pretty proud of yourself because now you're your own man. Anybody ever think that? I've been there. Done it. Got the T-shirt. And you can have your T-shirt for $10 here at Grace Bible Church. I prove that Paul couldn't have had it before Acts chapter 9. Go to Romans 16. And this is exactly how I witnessed to him. So I hope you're taking sequential notes. I know I've told a few good stories in between. You can skip those. Although, if you want to tell them, it's okay too. My preacher said no. In Romans 16, look in verse 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? I always get them to say that. You notice how I ask that question? You ought to say, ask them, whose gospel? He says it in three places. Can anybody give me the three places? Romans 2, 16, very good. And what's the other one? 2 what? 2:8. Well, it's 7:8, you'll get there, that's fine. I mean, notes aren't to get you to the specific verse necessarily, or just get you in the thing, you'll see it. You're smart enough to see it. It's to help you. That's why you write it down in your Bible. That's why you need a man's Bible. That's for you. Stay away from them New King James. I saw that on the thing. I'm kind of... Is that what that is? Brother? My apologies to such a great man of God as you. Praise the Lord. He was kind of like in these other Bibles when I first saw him on the thing. Well, some of your buddies were anyway. Answering your post. I watch. We met each other on the internet. Now that's not great for everybody, but we're not dating. That was cute. Okay, verse 25 again. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel, and here's the important part. Here's the part you need to underline this in your Bible, guys. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the what?
Mystery.
Which was kept secret how long? All right. So I show them. Look, here's eternity past here. Past Old Testament. It was kept secret. And you, how many times have you all seen me to do this? And the reason I do this is so that you'll learn. If it was kept secret before the Old Testament, was it taught in the Old Testament?
No.
Was it taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Then how is it possible that people could get saved at a church that goes to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until hell freezes over and they get saved all of a sudden? Here is the key. It is impossible. Let me try that again. That didn't go over well. Here is the key. It is impossible. It can't be done. You cannot find the gospel in order to be saved. You say, well, John 3:16, that's the gospel. Go to John 3. I mean, that's where everyone goes, isn't it? Verse 16. That's what everyone quotes, isn't it? Now, I haven't given you the mystery that Paul got, but it's going to be revealed that this ain't it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What did that tell you? Did He give you the gospel? Huh? None of those are the gospel. In fact, if you go between John 5:24, where he's quoting, and John 3:16, look at John 4. Why don't they preach this? Verse 22. It's fascinating to me. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the what? You believe that? I don't believe salvation. My salvation is of the Jew. John 5:24, where he quoted. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Well, where's the gospel in that? It ain't there. Because whatever Paul got wasn't revealed. It was what? Do you believe that? Then it wasn't in John 5:24, amen, or John 3:16. Because whatever he got was unique over here. What was the gospel that was unique? Well, go to Romans 16:25 again. I mean, you either believe the Word of God or you don't. It's okay. If you don't, you will end up, sure enough, as I am standing behind this pulpit right now, in a place called hell. And I'd like to prevent that. Now, I'm showing you how to witness. Now, you know what I would do if I had this information loaded in my gun and I'd taken good notes? I tried to show it at least to one person. I would. I'd pick my best friend. And if you're afraid to show it to him, and you say, Brother Barry, I didn't quite get it the other day, then know what I would do? No, I would pick up the phone and say, Brother Barry, will you come and show me a couple times how to do it? And guess what Brother Barry would be happy to do? You got it? But if you don't call me, you know what I think you're doing? I think you're witnessing. I am going to quit thinking that you're watching CSI and NASCAR, Wayne, and NAS trucks. I don't even know what NAS trucks are. Next thing you know, it'll be, I have to watch the little go-karts go around the car. They do? On TV? See, what in the world is the world coming to? Amen?
Racing lawnmowers.
Oh, my goodness. If that happens, I'm going to shave my head.
They do it. Racing lawnmowers.
I was just kidding about shaving my head. Go to Romans 16. Now, to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now, have I given anybody the gospel up to this point? No, but I have set them up where they're not going to miss it if they get it. You got it? That's what we've done. We've set them up so they won't miss it. You've got to get it, guys. Your loved ones are, I'm telling you, they're going to bust hell wide open. Ask the people the question. If you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? How many has asked that question? All right, what did you get? And you got to speak up loud, William.
I'm baptized. I've been good.
You ever give anybody give you the straight answer?
No.
All kind of answers, but never the right one.
They're going to hell. Say, but that's my auntie and my unkie and my unkie and tupuki and the paka tupupa. I don't know. They're going to hell. So I read them. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. And then I would turn them over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I want you to know we did have the air conditioning worked on and cleaned. It's still warm in here. What's the temperature? You're comfortable over there? Someone's going to have to take the preacher out. He's a little faint and weary. Okay, maybe a little drink of fluid.
Then I'll get here.
That's all you're hearing anyway. That's my hot air. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Watch this. This is what I would take them to. And see, what I'm trying to show you is how to witness. I'm going to have them nailed here in just a second to what the gospel is. Now watch. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a... Romans 16:25, I'd have in my Bible right there. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, that is Satan and his angels. For had they known it, the mystery of verse 7, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So whatever Paul got, had they known it back here, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. You got it? Now I've set them up. Because what books are they paying attention to in most churches? And they can't get the gospel out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So go ahead and ask me the question they all ask me. Well, what's the gospel then? The gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. And look at this. Verse 1. And I lay this thing out to where there's no doubt what's going on. We're going to run just a few minutes, a couple minutes over time. What, is that what you're worried about? It is? I understand. You'll be okay for another minute or two. You ain't nearly as hungry as the preacher is. I could eat a kid right now about your size. And I'm restraining from it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, and I always take them back, and I said, he received it right here. Amen?
Amen.
It could have been over that way, but it can't be any further back that way. You got it? Minimum is 9. I always point that out. Always take them to the point. You know why? It denies Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here it is. How that Christ died for our sins. See, you got to remember, they preached the death, burial, and resurrection. What they didn't teach is my gospel, which was the S factor. And the S factor is that Christ, and I always draw this out, he took all of your sins and put it on. And I said, how many sins do you have over here? And they inevitably say none. Then why would your church teach you to confess your sins if your sins are already gone? You got it? You can't do both. You either believe they're gone or you believe you've got to confess them. It's really that simple. And you know what? How many sins are gone? All. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And this is exactly how I witness, guys. Colossians chapter 2. Are we going to lunch somewhere? Huh? I'm hungry. Who's taking me to lunch? Anybody? You're going to take me to lunch? Oh, you were just kidding. You tease. You're going to take me to lunch? Well, I was hoping with you I'd just leave Brenda. No, I'm just kidding. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you. How many trespasses are gone? Why would you confess a sin that you believe they were all gone? You see, you can't do it both. I used to be, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. How many years done that?
Amen.
And when you get saved, you quit doing that. You know why? You believe. You're at peace. You know He's already done it. You don't struggle with that anymore. Jeff.
Verse said, shall be saved?
Are saved.
What was the verse that said, shall be saved?
Acts 2, verse 47 and Acts 3, 19. So, that's how I set them up. And I lay the idea of that on their mind. And then there's one last place I change up and I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and I end up here inevitably. Huh? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 through 21. Now watch this. This is exactly how I do it. It isn't like In fact, the people up in Kentucky that are all now saved will tell you how I started out with them. The exact same stuff. You know why? I want them to see the gospel, guys. The gospel isn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. My job is to expose the gospel to everybody. And teach faithful men who will... If you can't do it, then I failed at my job. Crack the book open. Take it to work. Crack the book open. Show somebody. Crack the book open. Let someone see the gospel. Crack the book open. It's a great book. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world on Himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you?
No.
No. Why? Verse 21. For He, that is God Almighty, hath made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, and I am made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. And so I laid my head down, and as I was having chest pains the other day, I was praying the Lord, thank you for all that you've done. I did. I didn't worry about dying. I know you guys would care about Brenda and take care of her after I die, and you'll treat her great and all that. I know that. There was no fear. It wasn't like I was going, man, I'm saved. I've got peace in my heart and I'm not worried about it. And that is not evolution. You're not evolving into salvation. You believe and you're saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Everybody that is saved has a date. And you may not remember the D-A-T-E, but you better remember the M-O-M-E-N-T. That it happened. And it doesn't matter who you are and where you are, you either have a M-O-M-E-N-T or you do not have an M-O-M-E-N-T and you are lost. Say, well, I had multiple M-O-M-E-N-Ts. No. You got saved one of those M-O-M-E-N-Ts, and if you can't tell the difference, I would chunk all of them and get them right now. I don't care. But it's that moment. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you got peace because you know He paid for them all. And if the rapture came right now today, you'd be prepared to go. If you're driving home and He calls you down, you won't even think. You'll have peace. If you do not have peace, go to Romans chapter 8. If you do not have peace, you are not saved. If you're doubting, you're confused, you're questioning your salvation, you're still lost. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now what? No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen, let me tell you what, that's real simple. If you're in Christ, are you going to feel condemnation? No, you know why? You know He's paid it all. If you had ever, listen to me, if you ever walked around and you had a little guilt in your mind or a little condemnation, or you thought to yourself, you know, I'm wondering, did I do everything right? Have I said everything perfectly? Have I learned the Word of God rightly divided? And you ask all those questions, guess what? You're still lost. You say, but I've been going to Grace Church forever. Doesn't matter. If you've ever had a doubt in your mind, confusion, listen, I know for a fact that Christ died for all of my sins. I've never walked around worried about a sin sending me to hell. I believe that He took care of all those at Calvary. But how many here has at one point or another felt guilt or that thing? That's a lost spirit. And so why would you risk all eternity based upon something you can't even remember? You got it?
Hello?
Instead of right now that you know all the facts. Yes.
In talking to people at work.
Yes.
They say, Christ died. They believe that Christ died for their sins. They're like, Christ died for my sins. And it's at that moment that they believe that they just got to start walking and not sinning because they're saved. And how do you say, no, Christ died for the sins that you've not even committed yet?
Well, I think 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it best. He was made sin to be sin for us who knew no sin. Is God imputing your trespasses onto you? No. The gospel, the grace of God, is the greatest message that ever happened. Listen, it isn't up to you to keep saved. He sealed you, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, unto the day of redemption. There isn't anything that you can do to lose your salvation. And so what I do is take them to 2 Corinthians 5 and really emphasize that. Why am I showing you this? Because you are going to be in the battles when I'm not there. You've got to be prepared. There's a great Christian song. And it goes, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And it's all about witnessing. He said, while others go through the bloody seas, is this grace a world of grace to help me on with ease? You know, I mean, folks, we're in the battle. The battle is now. The fight is on. Your relatives are, hey, listen, the devil's playing over them. And here's the key. The devil never sleeps. He never sleeps. He's after your loved ones while you're sleeping. And you've got the answer. Allow them to have eternal life. I guarantee you, I would bet you with everything in my pocket that there are more men in this room that are saved that could go and show the gospel than in 95% of the churches here in Montgomery. At one of the big, huge, did I say huge? Baptist church downtown. Don't know which one that might be. But anyway, that, huh? I didn't say that. That was a good guess, though. Hey, I sat down with that preacher. I'm telling you. I bet he's lost. He's got a congregation full of people. I sat down with him on jury duty with my Bible cracked open and asked him some questions. He had no clue. None whatsoever. I was like shocked. He said, my goodness, Barry, you're telling me you don't have to confess your sins? You hadn't heard the gospel that Christ died for them all? Yep, but we got to confess them in order to get... He believed that if he didn't confess them, that God wouldn't... Here's the thing that a theologian such as bright people like him should know. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Confession will never forgive sin. That's a fact, boys and girls. You got it? That's a fact. It isn't an emotional thing with me. That's what God said. Without the shedding of blood. And He thinks it's confession that gets rid of them. Well, if confession, then why does it say, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. Well, is confession something you do? Well, then it couldn't be the same gospel Paul's preaching. Room full of people, musicians lined up, great Christmas cantatas, great stuff, and people all up uplifting. And you know what the Bible says? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I don't see that happening. I don't see people putting down Frazier. Do you? You know what? You've got to know the difference between what is true and what is just fantasy. You never get it in your mind, you'll never get saved. And once you're saved, listen, let me tell you what, I'm out there everywhere I can showing everybody, even other preachers, the truth. Not it. Steve, you're a pastor? I met him up with Brother Moore. He was dying in the hospital. I was there and Steve showed up. And Steve was offended, but I asked him when he got saved. Go ahead, ask me when I got saved. The 24th of August, 1983, when I realized that I wasn't any good and that I needed a Savior. And what He did at Calvary's cross and dying for all of my sin was enough. And I gave up that day. Hey, I know that I'm saved. And you ask me that, that's an honor. He was offended. I'm like, why would you be offended? I had Brother Moore after I got saved. You sure you're saved? He said, Brother, I remember the moment I received Christ. I was up at the very top thing at Berkeley Field here in a revival. And all of a sudden I realized I was a lost deacon. He said, that moment, June 1955, I trusted the Lord. Anybody here gotten saved? Shout out your date if you've gotten saved. July 2nd. Come on, shout it out if you got a date. You got it. You know you're going to be saved? You know He's died for all your sins? There's people in here who don't have a date. They don't have a clue what's going on.
And a Cadillac at a red light. Don't know the date, but I know the moment.
Amen, brother.
I was when you brought your son over for piano lessons and you showed me sitting at our kitchen table in my dining room on that little crusty old house on Buford Street.
Yeah, I remember that. I witnessed her and I hired her as a piano teacher. But before you do it, you've got to get saved. That's just how I am, because I really do want people to get saved. It's not a joke with me. I've done this for 23 years and 14 years without a salary at this church. The only goal I have is I want people to get saved. I want them to walk out that door and know that they have eternal life. It would be awful to me if you sat and listened to me and you walked out that door and you were lost. That would just tear me up. And every day I'd walk by you from one new moon to one Sabbath to another, and I'd look, and there you were in the abhorring where the worm dieth not and the flame is never quenched. I said, man, why didn't you believe? I loved you so much, I wanted you to believe. I'm not up here because I need a job. I really could have used a day off today. I was tired. I understand you're busy. I appreciate the men of God that have testimonies and willing to stand behind this pulpit. And I appreciate young men like Dale and Jeff and all that are involved in the ministry. We need you. We need you every Sunday. We need to build this thing up and get them fired up, because there may be some loved one you bring, and boy, Dale brought his loved ones, that need that gospel more than anything they need. How about on the way home to Georgia or the way from Georgia to here, one of them dies in a car accident? You know what I can say? I at least preached the gospel to them. Gave them a chance. When was the last time you won somebody to the Lord? When was the last time you cracked open the book and really sat down with someone and showed them the truth? Man, it feels so good when you do that. What it's all about. You all of a sudden start to realize what your purpose is in life. And you have an incredible purpose. I want everybody to know that it's really simple. So what do you do to get saved? Here's the key. Absolutely nothing. You believe. All you got to do is believe that Jesus did it all for you and me. Totally paid the price. Isn't He gracious enough? That all you got to do is believe. That's it. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to confess anything. You don't have to walk anywhere. You don't have to raise your hand. If you want to be saved here this morning, let me tell you what, it's just really simple. Believe that He did it all. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will come into your heart, and you'll have such a peace. It's amazing. Y'all are dismissed.